Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kayla, very much for singing that for us today. So blessed, so blessed, yeah. My stepdad, we sang that at his funeral, and he always sang it, "It is swell with my soul." So we sang it, "It is swell with my soul" at his funeral. It was a good time, that's right. But good memories there, that's right. I just want to pray, and then I'll get started, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you right now thanking you so much for this day, for this time. Father, open our hearts to what you have to speak to us today. Fill me with your Spirit that you may be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we grow as parents, we all have these different shows or different things that we watch, I guess, with our kids to keep them energized or keep them going. Well, one of my daughter's favorites is one called Doc McStuffins. I don't know if you've ever heard of Doc McStuffins, but Doc is very popular nowadays on the Disney group. And so Doc is a doctor for toys. When toys get injured or are not feeling right, then the doc comes in and helps them out. So she just, finds all the solutions, what needs to be done, what needs to be taken care of. And sometimes, as those kids shows were when you were a kid or you watched them with your kids, maybe you would want to be screaming at the TV, "This is what you got to do. You got to fix this," right? But then she'd find out eventually. It just took a little bit of time. And so a lot of times we'll be watching it, and I'll know what's wrong with the toy before Doc does, and she has to do a whole checkup on him, and she sings these songs, right? And she's gonna figure out what's wrong, and she's gonna do a checkup. It'd get in my head if I start singing it, so I can't right now. Yeah. If I do, it's time for my checkup. But as you're watching, eventually the character gets healed up by Doc. And when they do, they go jumping around and they're feeling so much better. And Ezzie has gotten to this point where she sort of sings that song. She's got most of the lyrics, but she skips a few and repeats some, So she, "I feel better." And every time you change her, she'll feel the same way. She sings, "I feel better, so much better." Yeah. And so it intrigues me how these things get into your head, into your mind, what you think about when you hear some of these things. But knowing that there's an easy solution a lot of times, and other times there's not so many easy solutions. I wish I could say, boy, there's just, you do this and this and you get everything lined out, everything will be fixed for you. That's not always the case, especially when we talk about what we're going to talk about today. When you have things like miracles go on, something that happens in the time of Jesus, and you think about them in light of what we're talking about today and things that are going on in your own world, in your own heart. There's a few things that stood out to me. I want to read Luke chapter 4 with you. In Luke chapter 4, starting verse 31, going down through verse 44. And just the word that stood out to me this week as I kept reading this and putting it in my heart, I thought about the word authority. So I thought, let's look at that, how it shows up here in this text. Luke chapter 4, starting in 31. Then he, meaning Jesus, went down to Capernaum. This is, by the way, right after Jesus is about to be thrown off a cliff. You remember that? Last week, right? They're about to shove Jesus off a cliff because of what he says to them, right? And that they're getting angry about it. So he leaves them and goes to a town in Galilee. And on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all, and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives order to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the whole surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." He kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. I thought about the word authority a few different times in this, and how Jesus speaks with authority, how he heals with authority, how there's something about this picture of Jesus. After hearing about what Jesus said and them getting very upset about him saying that the gospel is for people who are on the outside, not just for you within those four walls, and Jesus wanting them to expand their own mind and understanding about the gospel in general and the kingdom of God, and that bothered them. They wanted it to be about them. And so because he moved from that and they get angry about it, Luke doesn't want to have you stop there and think, okay, well, maybe he's not really the one you're supposed to put your faith in. He wants to continue that chapter right away by talking about all of these healings that Jesus does, these miracles that show up. And there's a few reasons for miracles in the Bible. If you think about reasons for miracles, especially in light of Jesus, they show up in clusters, though, throughout Scripture. They show up like times in like Moses and times like Elijah and Elisha and different moments throughout history. But when it comes to Jesus, there's an even more greater importance, I could say, about miracles and why they're happening. They are, first off, they authenticate his teachings and who he is. So there's this clear cut sign now: if he does these miracles, he is the Messiah. He is the one who is said to come. And Jesus also uses it to illustrate a little bit about himself. He uses things like the feeding of the 5,000 to illustrate that he's the bread of life. He uses things like the blind man receiving his sight to show that he is the light of the world. So Jesus uses these things to illustrate who he is and what his purpose is, to be the Messiah, to be Lord over all, to have all authority. There's also some sides of symbolism to the spiritual walk, your own spiritual walk, especially in light of what Jesus says at most of his healings. You shall be saved. There's a salvation aspect. There's a moving from the pain and the suffering and the sadness and the darkness or whatever you're dealing with, whatever's happening, and it's being cleansed by Jesus, and he says you will be saved. And you realize that darkness and that pain, all of that stuff gets taken away. And it's what Jesus does for each one of us. His heart for people. You see that his authority, first off, when he's preaching here a little bit, there's something about his lordship, his authority that shows up in his preaching that the people are drawn into. You hear it? They say they're amazed at his teachings in verse 32 because his words had authority. And nobody can preach like Jesus because he's the Son of God, right? So you don't ever have anybody who can preach with that authority to say, "I tell you this because I am God." That's how Jesus speaks, right? And so everything that I say, everything that I do, I've told you before that I'm Vanna White, just pointing to the letters, right? So Yeah, and that's where I get my authority to speak anything. And Jesus, though, is sharing the truth of the message, and he's speaking truth to people, and he's letting them know what is important. And at the end of it, he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God to all the towns. This is why he was sent, he says. He kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. There's something about preaching with authority that draws people in. That people want to hear this message. They want to know about what's going on, what they need to change, what needs to happen in their own life. And so I've developed my life to being a good communicator as best as I can with my own speech problems. And so I want that to be something that matters in my ministry. I believe that people come to hear the message of Jesus when they come to this place. They want to grow. They want to hear the meat of the gospel. They want to know what's the truth. Who is the truth? And so there I am pointing to the letters on the page, right? Pointing to the man himself, because he is the truth. And so there's this idea of preaching with authority, preaching with power, that we speak boldly for the kingdom of God, that this is how Jesus talks. He talks about the message of the gospel. It always amazes me when I look at Jesus' teachings, especially in the gospels, when you hear what Jesus does and how Jesus speaks, and the things that would just make people uncomfortable. I think often about the Sermon on the Mount, and how if all I did on a Sunday morning was get up and read the Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and people would just be deeply angered, deeply bothered, deeply stirred because of some of the things that Jesus says in there. When Jesus says, don't hate your enemies, love your enemies. Pray for them. Turn the other cheek. If somebody strikes you on one side, turn the other. Some of the things that just make our blood boil, because he thinks, man, it's not enough just to say, I don't commit adultery, but if you've ever looked at a person with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with them. If you've ever said you hated somebody, you've committed murder to them. Some of these words, some of these teachings, some of the things that Jesus says that penetrates hearts, that says, man, I don't know if I can listen to another one of these things. And it still bothers people, even to this day, because we are trained in our mind to think, oh yes, this is Jesus just likes me to go the same way I've always been going, to live the same life. He doesn't want anything to change. We even had people tell me that there's things that we preach sometimes that are like not theological, but they're on the social gospel. I don't know what that means. Especially in light of the last year, all I did was preach theology, the study of God. And now we're studying the life of Jesus. So when you get to a point of saying, well, this isn't what I want to hear, that's too bad. I'm not here to make you feel comfortable and make you come into this place and say, I don't need to change anything. I don't need to grow in any way. No, it's about speaking into your heart by the Holy Spirit to work in your own soul and to say, there's something that needs to work in my life. I need to grow. I need to keep working. I need to be challenged. And that's my job. And so as I think about preaching and how it does that, I love that art and craft of working that up and trying to devise a way to bring this to life to people. Because this is how Jesus communicated his message too. There's authority in his preaching. The next thing I notice authority over is his authority over demons. His authority over the darkness of the world. You hear it in his words when he's casting out the demon in verse 33 in chapter 4. He says, go away, you, in a loud voice. He cries at the top of his voice. That's how my Bible translates it. He cries at the top of his voice, go away. That's what I tell my daughter to do when she has bad dreams. Go away, bad dreams. Go away, darkness. It's a screaming. It's a get it out of here. And they know it. They know who Jesus is. They know his authority. They know where he's coming from. They understand this message. They don't like it. They like to fill up the darkness and stay in the darkness. And Jesus is speaking light into that. Darkness hates light because the light exposes the darkness. I didn't say that, Jesus did. And so he says, this is what you do. This is how you share that. You speak into that. And he speaks with authority at that evil spirit, at that darkness. And he says, you get out of there. Go away. Get out of here. Just as the demon shouting, go away to Jesus because he knows who he is. And Jesus shouts at him, be quiet. Come out of him. Don't you dare speak. You notice then later on in verse 35, is it 41? Yeah, when more demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God, but he rebukes them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Jesus didn't want their witness. The demons know he's the Messiah and he doesn't want them to speak about it. Don't you talk about me. Don't you talk about who I am. You are an evil spirit and nobody wants you. Go away. Be quiet. And he rebukes them and he shuts it up. When Jesus speaks this way, I think about our world today. The idea of darkness and light and you know, this major battle, and I'm not talking about Lord of the Rings here a little bit, okay? But it comes to my mind, right? So, yeah, this raging battle of what's going to conquer and how light will always conquer darkness. And Jesus has that message. When he speaks to the demon and he calls the demon out, he's speaking light into darkness and he's bringing that darkness out. He has that power. He has that authority because he is Lord over all. The demons know who he is. We even know that from the book of James. In the book of James chapter 2, it says, even the demons know his name and shudder at the name of Jesus. And so when he drives them out and they're saying, you are the Messiah, the demons are shouting, you are the Messiah, Jesus says, be quiet, silence, silencio. Don't open another word out. Don't speak another word. You have no rights here, evil spirit. And Jesus' power and authority over all of that just comes into fruition. And when you think about all of the things in our world, the idea of darkness and the hurting and the pain and all that's going on, and Jesus himself can just speak against that and speak out about that. Say, change this, make this difference, live this way, walk this way. God has the authority over it all. Yet we're sometimes a little scared to call on him. If you look at the next part of the story, after Jesus leaves the synagogue, after he's healed that a man possessed by the demon, he goes to Simon's house. And Simon's mother-in-law is there. Or he goes to see her, whatever. But Simon's married. Simon Peter has a wife, and his mother-in-law is there, and she's got a fever. She's not feeling well. Jesus goes in there, and you see what happens. He sees her suffering. And they help, and Jesus wants to heal her. He bends over. I want to make sure I read this right. He bends over her in verse 39. He rebukes the fever and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses. Here's a phrase I don't want to miss either. And laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. Laying his hands on each one of them, he heals them. There's something about Jesus and his compassion, his authority over sickness, his authority in his healings, and what they're all about is his absolute love and compassion. He just wants to extend that to people. Do you hear it? He bends over Simon's mother-in-law and he rebukes the fever, come out of her. And then he's in a wide group of people, and all he'd have to do, because he's Jesus, is just say, you're all healed, go home. And they'd all be healed. He could do that. He does it in other places. But he doesn't do that. With the many that are coming to him, he lays his hands on each one of them. You see it? There's this idea of compassion in all of those circumstances, in all of that ministry, in all of that pain, in all of the agony. Jesus is there and he's reaching out and he's bending over and he's extending an extra hand and he's saying, I want you to know that I care for you. This is what he does even today. Even today, when we think about healings and things like that, Jesus is just extending his hand to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I work. This is what I do. It always intrigues me whenever I talk about healings and miracles, and that everybody thinks that God heals in the same way all the time. Well, he wants me to be healed this way. I want to get out of this pain. I want to get out of this suffering. That's never what happens in Scripture. And Jesus doesn't heal everybody. He doesn't heal everybody that ever comes to him or ever around him. Sometimes there's a select few that he heals and that's it. And Jesus knows this truth. Everybody wants to escape suffering. Everybody wants to escape that pain. When sometimes Jesus is just like, here's how I can help you. I can extend my hand to you and let you know that I'm carrying you through your pain, not away from it. Because I want you to trust in me. I want you to experience how I show my love and my compassion. I am there for you. Not to say that Jesus doesn't heal and take out some of those things, because at times that happens. I believe wholeheartedly that Jesus has that power and God has that desire at some times. But sometimes God's desire is not to just take things away from you, but to carry you through them and to let you know that he cares and that he never leaves you or forsakes you and that he's passionate about you. And that he wants a relationship with you. He wants to extend his hand to you and say, I know what pain you're going through. I felt worse. But know that I am here. Sometimes the things that we build up in our minds, we have to take an examination. How God is going to do healing and what purpose God would do healings. A lot of times I want to ask people, what is your motivation? Because this is a big part. When you're asking for a healing, what is your motivation? Is it that, you know, that you get taken care of? Is it selfish? Or is it that God would be glorified? Is it about God's goodness? Is it about God's power taking hold? Because if you take a look at this, you are praying for healing and you're knowing about healing, but you're not doing it for a selfish reason. You're doing it because you believe God can and will, and that he loves deeply that much that he can do this and that he would for his own glory, not for your own benefit. So sometimes we have to look at our own motives. Sometimes we have to learn to submit to God and know that he is more knowledgeable than us. This one's a tough one, isn't it? Oh. Sometimes I'm like, wow, okay, God, so You know, whenever I'm praying for healings, I always have this phrase that's in my mind and in my heart. Not my will, but your will be done, God. It's not about my desires. It's about your desires. You know more than me. You know what the healing could look like. You know that maybe the healing is taking this child to be with you and healing them completely in eternity. Sometimes it might be taking away some of the pain. But I don't know, but God does. And so learning to trust in him, learning to know that my knowledge isn't even close to comparing to his knowledge. He far outweighs me with all of that knowledge. The other thing I always tell people is, don't limit God with your unbelief. Don't put God in a box. Don't say, oh, well, he might be able to heal this person, but he probably won't heal that person. They're way worse. And then go and pray for that person, right? Don't have a lack of faith when you're praying. Believe that God will do what he plans to do, what he desires to do, and work that out in your own heart. My other thought is always to look for the spiritual lessons in the trial, in the struggle, through the pain. What is God teaching you? How is God speaking to you through you hurting right now? How is God speaking to you by taking this person from you? What is he trying to reveal to you? Is he trying to reveal that our treasures are sometimes on earth and not in his hands? That our belief is sometimes just on what we can see rather than what we can't see? Because Jesus says something about that too. He says, what you can see is temporary, but what you can't see is eternal. And God knows how to work this stuff out. He knows how to work. He knows how to transform. And he is there and he cares. So the next time somebody says to me, well, God didn't care about my brother because my brother died, I want to just walk up to him and I just want to slap him. Because I want to say, but I follow Jesus and I don't believe in hitting people. So I say, I want you to know he cares so deeply. He cares so deeply. He is caring for you. He's caring for them. He's caring about the situation. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And maybe he wants to show you something truly powerful in your own heart. Maybe he's working in you, helping you to grow. I don't know. But what I do know is that my God never leaves us or forsakes us. Jesus' miracles here, revealing things about his authority. Authority in the way he preaches, the way he commands demons, the darkness, to come away. Authority in the sense of compassion and showing that he cares. There's just something about this Lord of all caring for people. You remember what was happening last week, right? I already told you some of it. They're trying to throw him off a cliff. People already are hating him. Jesus goes into that world. He goes into that and he speaks. He commands. He speaks with authority. He commands demons with authority. And he shows compassion on those who need compassion. And I think this is what we ought to be doing. Going to those people who need compassion and showing them compassion. To see a brother or a sister come up here and need prayer and to surround them and let them know they are cared for, that this place cares for you. And we're praying for you and we're lifting you up. To letting people know that it's okay if you have a prayer request, if you have something that's hurting you, is something that's bothering you, something that's going on in your life, and you can trust those people to say they're going to be on your side, They're going to lift you up because they care. It's to know that Jesus cares with an ultimate caring. It's that he speaks against it every single day. It's to trust that Jesus really cares. That's what it reveals to me. Not that he's going to heal every single person in the world, but that the ones he does heal on earth or in heaven, in every situation, they reveal his authority and compassion. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you right now thanking you so much for being a God who loves us deeply, who cares so much about each one of us and the things that we're going through and the situations in our lives, the struggles that we have. Father, help us to trust in you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to live for you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if there's...